morning. I got lots to say, so if you could all rise for the reading of God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And after I say it, if you could repeat, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord, and if you could repeat that all together by saying, thanks be to God, and then have your seat, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray for us. If you could join me in prayer and ask for God's help. As Paul said, he did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power. Father in heaven, have mercy on us. We need your power from heaven. We need the impossible, the things that we cannot do on our own. Salvation is not in man, but is of the Lord. So help us now. Help us to see Christ more in his amazing beauty. Let him increase and let him shine, that I decrease for the sake of your kingdom and your glory, the sake of your people now. To have faith in Christ. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. We're continuing our series on preaching Christ. And I said last week, at the center of the gospel, which is the good news is not mainly what you and I do. There is no salvation in what we do. There is salvation. The good news is, the center of the good news is Jesus. And it is who he is and what he does for us is what we need. Okay? So the more we know Christ, the more we're going to actually trust him. The more faith and trust we will have in Jesus. It's not blind faith. It's faith based on knowledge of who Christ is and what he has come to do. And today, we're going to talk more about Christ, of this new creation. And when Paul says the word creation, it's not a throwaway word. It's a word that should take you back to the beginning of the Bible. The book of Genesis. The point of the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings, plural. The first beginning, and there is a second Genesis, a second beginning. The book, as you know, starts out with an account of the first beginning, the creation of the physical universe in which we know and we live. But the real point of the book is the introduction of the second beginning, a second Genesis. There are two creations, two beginnings. Both creations show the principal character, which is God, doing something only he can do, namely creating out of nothing. Both creations, both beginnings, show the way God went about creating. Both of them show the main character in the story, which is us, which is man. In both creations, we learn about God and what he had in mind when he made this special man, which it says he made in his image. Quote, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. The first creation, God reviews and reveals what he did to make our world and what he made all of us to be. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, it says this about the purpose of why he created us. What's the chief end of man? And it says this, everyone who is created by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. It's pretty clear why God made his creation, especially the special man, male and female, us. We are made to glorify him. That was our sole purpose. And not only in the beginning, the first creation, God tells us why he made man. He also, in the beginning, exposes the terrible reality that brought the entire creation to a screeching halt, which most of you guys already know if you grew up in the church or in the church and in the Bible, which made it impossible for God and man to continue with the original plan of creation. And so we come to the story where God has two options. God must destroy the world and man with it to regain his glory, to effectively waste away all the pollution that man introduced. Remember, God made a perfect world. We, which is the next vice regent to glorify God, okay? In other words, we're important, crucial in how the whole world functions. To regain his glory, to effectively wash away the pollution that man introduced. We introduced it. It is we that sin against God and his perfect world. In other words, now there is enmity between God and man. And what's so devastating about when man sinned against God is not the crime committed that was so devastating. It wasn't the sin that was so devastating. The real devastation is the identity of the person. It's not the crime, but who did it. It's not what, but who did the crime. That was the real devastation. Remember how we were made. We are made in the image of God. As we have sung here, Adam and Eve and their posterity is supposed to be God is their all in all. God is their everything. And what man did was the travesty of the thing is the man, even though he was made that way, he turned his back against God, the creator, the source of all good things. Why would he do that? Why? He was made that way, and then all of a sudden he turned his back against the very God who was the source of all good. Maybe you could talk about that why, maybe at the fellowship time. I don't have time to explain the philosophy of the thing. It's not that hard. But that's what he did. Man did that. It wasn't the crime. It's a crime. Who did the crime? It's like if Noah went up to Gino and said, I don't want to be your son. And he leaves home. Okay. Well, Gino would be like, well, you're not my son. You know, it's not that devastating when someone who's not your flesh and blood says, I don't want to be your son. You know, and then says, leaves home. But if AJ said, Daddy, I don't want to be your son, and leaves home, that would be a real travesty. That's what we did. That's what man did. We're created in the image. God was our father. We are our sons and daughters, and we turned our back against our father. And you know the story. God did not take the first option of destroying all of his creation and man, but he took a second option, a second beginning, a new creation to replace, not to fix the old one, he wanted to replace the old one with a new creation. And this new project that God started with Genesis chapter 12, you know the story? He started with a man named Abraham. This new Genesis, a second creation, a new creation. On the surface, it doesn't look like a new creation. God simply took an obscure nobody. I mean, Abraham was a nobody. It was just a one person in all of God's creation. He wasn't special. Yet he chose this man, Abraham, in the Middle East, and sent him to the land of Canaan, the promised land, with the promise that he would make the man and his descendants a great nation. Thus begins the story of Abraham. Thus begins a story of how God makes this new creation that will replace the old one. And this story, this new creation story, the second beginning story, runs all the way from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to Revelation. This new creation, this new project, if you will entail all sorts of ideas that requires the entire Bible to sufficiently flesh out its details and God's plan of what God had in mind of this new creation. And here in this book of Genesis, in Abraham, the story begins with Abraham and his descendants. And there's three things that we could learn here, learn about Christ. And the first thing is, remember the Bible says, and Paul says this over and over and over again, Abraham, the reason God was pleased with Abraham is because, it says, he was reckoned as righteousness, or he was counted as righteousness. You know why? The word righteousness is the word just being pleasing to God, okay? Just take the word righteous or righteousness equals that you're not acceptable to him. You're pleasing to him. Before, you weren't pleasing. You weren't acceptable. It is clear in the Bible the reason Abraham was acceptable or righteous before God, counted as righteous, was because of, you remember? Faith. Faith pleases God. There's two ways in the Bible that you could please or be righteous before God. One way is through the law, which is, you know how many laws there are in the Bible? 613 laws. And in order for you to be acceptable to him, pleasing to him, you have to do all of it. Every single one. You can't skip it. They were obligated. The Jews were obligated to be righteous, pleasing to God, to do all of it. You just can't do 612. You have the 613. He requires righteousness or perfection that pleases God. That's one way. Another way is not doing the law, to please God. It is to have faith. Faith, for some reason in God's world, pleases God. And Abraham was reckoned pleasing or righteous before God through faith. Faith is God-given ability. It is God-given ability. It is from heaven to the person. It's a miracle, which he gives you a new set of eyes. Not these eyes that you're able to experience this physical world, but a new set of eyes, a spiritual eyes that he gives to you as a gift. He gives to you, and when you have these eyes, you start seeing the spiritual world. Without faith, in Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. When you have faith, God opens the spiritual world. Remember who God is. He is spirit. Only faith is able to see and be certain of God who is spirit and his spiritual world. And Abraham was given that ability. He had one leg, like last time I said, one leg in this physical world, he knew that, and another leg in the spiritual world. And he was able to experience not just God, but the spiritual world of God. And the first thing that he experienced, many things, was important to God, is God does not like sin. Doesn't. He actually hates our sin. And not just see the hatred of our sin, he also sees the solution or the remedy for it. Look what he says in John chapter 8, verse 56. John 8, 56. Your father, Jesus is talking here, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it, faith, and he was glad. Your father Abraham rejoiced. Remember, Abraham, and then when Christ came, there's 2,000 years. We are 2,000 years later, okay? Abraham, by faith, saw Christ, not just hoping for it, but he said he saw it. He saw my day, and he was glad. That was his faith. Our faith is like future, but we see backwards, and we see Christ. Abraham and our faith is the same. It's faith in Christ. That's our righteousness. That pleases not only Abraham, but he pleases us if that's true. That's why Abraham was credited as righteousness. Because he, what? What was his righteousness? What was his faith? In Christ. And in order for us to be acceptable to God, reckoned righteous, clothed, it says, and Paul says, clothed with his righteousness, is faith, not in us, not in our goodness or righteousness, but trusting faith in the perfect righteousness of Christ. That was Abraham's faith. That's why God was pleased with him. Father Abraham had many. This is a children's song that we sing to, right? We learn. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them. He's our father. We are his children. We have same faith. That's what the song is saying. Abraham was the first person that God reckoned as righteous in Christ. And we are his children only if we have that same faith in Christ. The second thing that Abraham experienced, it's incredible. Abraham was an incredible man. Father of us all. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13 to 16 is a lengthy passage, but I want to read it because look at what his faith helped him to see and hope for. Look at it. These all died in faith, talking about the patriarchs and all before in the Old Testament, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Having seen them from afar. Abraham saw Jesus from afar. It wasn't just blind faith, you know? It wasn't just hoping, not seeing anything. The people of the faith in the Old Testament saw Christ. And their hope was in him, in his righteousness. But not just being acceptable to God. Look at what else they saw. Having seen them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. So they treated the promised land as an exile. Stranger. Remember, this was a promised land that God gave them. And they were considering the promised land as exiles. And they were seeking for another home. What were they seeking? Another home. That was their home that God promised. The land of Canaan. Look at this. For people who speak thus, it is clear they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, okay, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Abraham and all the people of faith, their hope was not earth, was not the promised land. Their hope was heaven, a heavenly land, a heavenly home. That was Abraham's faith. And if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, that is your hope, like Abraham. You live here, but that's not your home. It shouldn't be. You're not putting roots down here. You're putting roots in another world called the new creation. They desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them a city. All the patriarchs had faith. Their hope was in this world. Their hope was in Canaan. Their hope was heaven. What's our hope, Christians? Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, talking to the church. But our citizenship is in where? But our citizenship is on earth. But I didn't say that. But our citizenship is in heaven. From it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm running out of time here. The next thing, Abraham's faith was the body of Christ. Let me just read this. I don't have time. I want to talk about the fourth one, resurrection of the dead, of Abraham's faith. Abraham, this is body of Christ. Abraham and his descendants were heirs to and preparing for another world, not this world. Abraham's family, which we know now from the New Testament, is the body of Christ. All of Abraham's descendants who are of the faith of Abraham are now the called of church. All who have faith are now called the body of Christ, the body of believers in Christ. That's the Christian story. The fourth thing, Abraham's faith and our faith, is resurrection from the dead. Abraham knew that. He believed it. Look what he says. Don't take my word for it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. He, Abraham, and I think this translation in the ESV, in the Hebrew, in the Greek, he, Abraham, considered, maybe the better translation there would be reasoned. He concluded. He reasoned. He was sure. He considered, he reasoned, he concluded that God was able even to raise him, Isaac, from the dead. Abraham, faith, knew if he killed his son Isaac, he says, he concluded his faith that he could raise my son from the dead. He believed in the resurrection. What is your faith? Is your faith that when you die, you will resurrect from the grave? I mean, that was what your baptism testimony was, wasn't it? Or your confirmation? You've been buried with Christ. You died with Christ. And that's what baptism is. You go under the water, or the water sprinkling. You go under the water. It symbolizes that you died with Christ. You're buried with Christ. And then you rise. You're a new creation. You're a new person. That's your faith. That's the Christian faith. Death will not be the end. Just like Christ, he died and he resurrected. If you're in Christ, faith in Christ, you will also die, and you will surely, just like Abraham, conclude, you will, not maybe, you will resurrect from the dead. Colossians chapter 2. Having been buried with him in baptism, buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Jesus from the dead. That's your faith. That's our faith. That's the faith of the Christian. So if you are this morning a Christian, you're a child, a spiritual child of Abraham who have faith. That is your story. That is your inheritance from your father, from Christ. Abraham, what did he hope in Christ for his righteousness? You also hope in Christ, and not in your righteousness, in Jesus' righteousness. Abraham hoped for what? Heaven. Not Canaan, and we also hope not here, not this earth, not Milwaukee, not United States, but our hope is where? In heaven. Abraham hoped for resurrection of the dead. He knew it. He concluded it by faith. He saw it, that God could raise him from the dead, and that is our faith. Abraham is a father of our faith. We are his new creation, just like Abraham, who tasted that new creation by faith. I'm going to leave you with one more verse. If you are Christ, or if you belong to Christ, if you have faith in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promises. Let's pray. Let's pray.